Hello.
Oh, how's everybody?
Let me pause that recording for you.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth Policy Oversight Committee meeting today, December 7th. We will call to order at 6:03. I will go ahead and move us through a roll call, and if people can respond with their name, and district, and if you are adult representative or a youth. Pacolia Matico, adult representative for District 4. Hassan?
Hassan Ahmed, District 1, youth representative.
Thank you. Peter?
Peter Lay, adult representative for District 2.
Bill? Bill?
Oh, Bill Riley, mayor appointment.
Jorge?
Evening, everyone. Jorge Velasco, District 5, adult representative.
Did I get everybody?
One, two, three, four, five.
Right?
Should we introduce the other people in the room? I'm Scott Kim. I'm the acting planner for OFCY. Al?
My name is Al. I am the administrative assistant too for OSCY.
And we also have social policy research in the room. And then just briefly introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. Mika Clark, senior associate with Social Policy Research Associates. And I'm here with two of my colleagues. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Rachel Estrella. I'm the Division Director for the Equity, Education, and Community Change Division at Social Policy Research Associates.
And I'm Heather Lewis-Sharp. I'm a principal at Social Policy Research Associates.
Great. Awesome. So our agenda for today, thanks everyone for the introduction. Peter?
Yeah, sorry, real quick. I just want to acknowledge that Shamil is in the attendees list.
Oh, thank you.
I will promote. Oh, there it is.
Great. Welcome, Shamil. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning. I mean, good afternoon.
Can you say your name? Thank you. Awesome. And then Hassan, did you have a question before we move forward or just was raising your hand?
Oh, no. Sorry. My bad.
Okay, cool. Our agenda for this evening's meeting, we will do a quick action to start our meeting to continue meeting by teleconference. We'll have open forum where members of the public can make public comment. And then we will go through and do approval of our prior minutes from June 1st. And then tonight's our main work is going to be looking at the independent fiscal year 2021 to 2022 evaluation report and approving that, as well as election of our co-chairs for the 22-23 cycle. And then we'll also elect our evaluation subcommittee members for this 22-23 cycle. We'll wrap up with administrative matters, which is some general announcements from our amazing staff team, talk about our upcoming meetings, and adjourn. Okay, that is what we're doing for tonight. So let's go ahead and put up on the screen the OFCY continuing resolution. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll move that. Bill Riley, I'll move that.
Have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Great. We have unanimous approval of the resolution to continue via teleconference. Let's go ahead and move to open forum. So members of the public, on the bottom of your screen, whether you are on a computer or on a Zoom app on your phone, you should see a button that says raise hand. If you raise your hand, we will be able to promote you and allow you up to 2 minutes to talk and testify on any of the things to which we are talking about are related to our programmatic mission. So again, press the reaction button, raise hand and we'll be able to hear you out.
I see no hands.
All righty. Last call before we move the agenda. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to approval of prior meeting minutes from June 1st, 2022. Thanks so much. I think it might be back up.
No. I don't think.
Oh, did they not make it?
Yeah, I don't think it was. It made it to this agenda packet. My apologies. Okay. So we'll have to skip agenda item number 4.
Okay. No problem. So I'll just make a note of that for the next meeting and we'll need to bring it back. Let's go ahead and move to item 5, approval of the OFCY independent fiscal year 2021-2022 evaluation report. I will pass it over to Social Policy Research Associates if you could. Walk us through this presentation. That'd be great.
All right, give me 1 second to share my screen. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Pecolia. Again, my name is Mika Clark, and I'm here with my colleagues, Rachel Estrella and Heather Lewis-Sharp. And our team at Social Policy Research Associates has been serving as OFCY's evaluation and learning partner since 2014. I'm very happy to be here tonight to go over the last annual report of the 2019-2022 funding cycle. So we're really glad to share what programs we're able to accomplish for Oakland's children, youth, and families in what was a very difficult year for a lot of Oakland residents and programs. If you have any questions, please feel free to raise your hand or you can put something in the chat. I'll also pause at various times throughout the presentation for questions. And before I move on, I just want to credit this photo. This is from the Oakland Public Education Fund's Youth Week program. Okay. So before we launch into the findings of the report, I wanted to provide an overview of the 9 strategies that OFCY funds. So each program falls into one of 4 major areas that cover early childhood, student success at the elementary and middle school grades, positive youth development, and then transitions to adulthood. So across all of these strategies, OFCY invested about $17 million in 149 programs in this last fiscal year. And similar to our previous reports in this grant cycle, this report is divided into 3 primary sections. So we begin with a section on OFCY-wide findings. So that's the main report. And then we have a strategy level summary for each of the 9 strategies that I just mentioned. And then we have a profile for each individual program. And those profiles show enrollment, attendance, and survey results for each program. So this allows us to see what is going on at 3 different levels, at the overall fund level, and within each of the 9 strategies, and then with each of the 149 funded programs. And I want to provide an overview of the data sources in the report. We looked at administrative records that's pulled from OFCY's client management system called CitySpan. There were 18,082 child and youth participants and 2,196 parents and caregivers that were enrolled in the system. We also collected 5,981 youth surveys, 1,008, 1,870 parent and caregiver surveys from participants of the early childhood program specifically, and then also 637 parent caregiver surveys from after school programs. We also collected 34 surveys from educators who are part of the social emotional well-being in early childhood setting strategy. We also had the pleasure of leading a series of interviews and focus groups with program managers and directors and staff from 25 different programs. And we also were able to help hold focus groups with youth and adult participants from 5 of the programs. So this report and our evaluation overall has aligned with the city's transition to a results-based accountability framework, which is also known as an RBA. And this aims to investigate 3 primary questions that are shown here. First, how much did programs accomplish, which we answer with enrollment and attendance data? Second, how well did they do it, which we answered by looking at if programs accomplished what they had projected that they would do. And crucially, factoring participant feedback through the surveys to assess program quality. And then finally, we ask, is anyone better off? Which we assess mostly through self-reported outcomes from participant surveys and also looking at some other data points when available, such as youth employment. On page 2 of the executive summary, you'll see a table of the RBA metrics that answer those 3 questions. So this is what it looks like. These RBA metrics, as well as the report itself, is broken into those 3 guiding questions. So at the top, we have how much did OFCY programs do? Then we have down below, how well did they do it? And is anyone better off? We'll take a pause here and see if there's any questions about the overall framework of the evaluation. Okay, so I'll move on with an overview of the participants of programs. So as I mentioned, over 18,000 children and youth participated in OFCY-funded programs in fiscal year 21-22. And in light of OFCY's commitment to racial equity, the data that we have here shows that OFCY programs are serving OFCY's target population of children and youth who identify as African American, Latinx, and Asian or Pacific Islander. Programs in the parent engagement and support and in the family resource center strategies also served over 2,000 parents and caregivers. Again, this information is available for each strategy in the strategy summaries and also for each program in the program profiles. Now I'm going to move on to the first major RBA question. How much did programs do? They did a lot over the fiscal year. Enrollment numbers in youth serving programs rebounded a bit compared to last year when we saw a bit of a dip. Still, we saw that programs did serve fewer children and youth than they did in fiscal year 19-20. In our interviews and focus groups, we heard that programs found that many participants and also prospective staff members didn't feel comfortable meeting in person at the beginning of the year, particularly. So agencies faced staffing shortages. In-person meetings in certain venues had to comply with really strict public health regulations that made it hard to hold large meetings. And this often limited cohort sizes for programs. And we also learned that students face really significant social emotional learning needs after that period of isolation and stress that was caused by the pandemic. We also heard from staff from several programs that some youth had there was a sense of apathy and disengagement among a lot of their participants. So in response to these challenges, programs continued to demonstrate a lot of creativity, a lot of adaptability, and they offered a combination of virtual and safe in-person opportunities for engagement to meet people where they are and find ways to engage them where they feel comfortable. They also invested a lot of time forming close one-on-one connections with children and families. And they continued to offer more connections to other resources and basic needs support than they had prior to the pandemic. As you'll see at the chart at the bottom of the page, adult enrollment in early childhood programs was largely unaffected by the pandemic. So we also learned that a lot of parents found virtual programming, especially for services like case management, was pretty convenient, and there wasn't as much of a dip in enrollment. Then here, we're going to take a closer look at enrollment in the youth serving programs by strategy. So the blue bars represent fiscal year 2021-2022, gray is last year, and white is fiscal year 1920, which again was the first year of the grant cycle. So here we see that comprehensive after-school programs, many of whom suffered from staffing shortages at the beginning of the year, and also summer programs, which were operating during the surge of the Delta variant, had the largest drop in enrollment. Conversely, programs serving older youth, such as the high school and post-secondary student success strategy and career awareness programs, they actually served more youth than they had in 2019. This increase we found was largely driven by three programs that was ran by OUSD. Continuing with how much did programs do? We also looked at attendance. After school programs tracked attendance differently to align with reporting requirements for state grants. They didn't track hours of attendance like they used to. They tracked days of attendance. So we don't report the hours of attendance in this report. So excluding comprehensive after school programs, all the other programs provided close to 900,000 hours of enriching experiences for Oakland's young people. And these are experiences that they might not otherwise have access to. On average, youth received about 71 hours of service. What we also see here on the right is that there's a lot of variation in the number of hours that children and youth spent in the program. And that's because OFCY is designed to fund a variety of different types of programs to serve a diverse group of children and youth with different needs. So the amount of time really varied by the design of the program. And if you're curious, you can also see this kind of breakdown for each strategy in the strategy level reports. So as I mentioned before, the comprehensive after-school programs tracked their attendance differently, focusing on days of enrollment or days of attendance instead of hours of attendance. So in this strategy, on average, students spent about 115 out of 180 days in the program. So there were 180 days in the school year, and they spent an average 115 of those days in after school. We found that average attendance was a bit higher for students in elementary and K-8 schools, where average attendance was 121 days. And that's something that we've noted in previous years as well. Okay. We also looked at variation in attendance by race and ethnicity. And we found that African-American, Native American, and multiracial children and youth spent more time in programming than the average participant. And I'll pause a moment here for questions before we turn to the second RBA question: how well did programs do it? Okay, I'll move on to that second question. So on average, programs met their projected enrollment and attendance hours. So every year, programs work with OFCY staff to project the number of participants that they anticipate serving and the total number of hours of service that they plan to provide. As we see here, programs served 127% of the youth that they are enrolling at the beginning of the year. And on average, programs met the of service they anticipated providing. And now moving on to what we believe is some of the more meaningful parts of the evaluation, where we consider participant feedback. So we looked at a few key components of program quality that research has shown are associated with strong positive youth development outcomes in out-of-school programming. So these areas include creating a safe environment, providing activities that youth find interesting and engaging, and fostering connections between participants and caring adults. And here we have some of the survey items that we looked at to assess how well programs are doing these things. And as you can see, youth rated programs strongly in each of these areas. 85% of youth who submitted the survey, for example, agreed or strongly agreed that they felt safe in their program. I want to note that in the survey, there is a not sure option. So this doesn't necessarily mean that 15% of participants disagreed. Many of these had marked not sure. And now moving on to that third question, is anyone better off? So before we go into those results, I want to take a moment to tease out why these survey questions and other RBA indicators are important in showing outcomes. So on the left side of this slide, we have a list of the city's RBA goals that are related to OFCY's mission. Here we have an example of some of the data points that we use to assess progress toward one of the city's goals. Are older youth more connected to school or work? So here we see that OFCY programs placed 1,456 youth in an internship or job placement. And we found that 78% of youth in the high school and post-secondary success programs who submitted a survey agreed or strongly agreed that their programs helped them feel more confident about going to college. So this is how we can get a sense for how programs are contributing to citywide goals. So the annual youth survey includes questions related to positive youth development, such as increased sense of belonging, increased self-confidence and goal setting. And we also look at strategy-specific outcomes, such as the outcomes that we have listed here. So all of the youth serving strategies respond to the positive youth development outcomes, and then each strategy has their own specific set of questions as well. And we found that 93% of surveyed youth in career awareness and employment support programs agreed that they learned about jobs that they can have in the future through their program. And 70% of youth in the strategies that have an academic focus reported that they had learned skills that help with their schoolwork because of their program. And 73% of surveyed youth in summer programs and youth development and leadership programs felt more connected to their community as a result of their program. We also wanted to know if youth of different ages or with different identities have different experiences in their programs, or if there are different outcomes for different groups of children and youth. So looking into that, we found that youth in high school and out of school youth were more likely to report positive outcomes in several areas of youth development, including outcomes like improved self-esteem, improved decision-making, and increased sense of belonging. We found the same for African-American children and youth. On the other hand, survey results showed that among youth who submitted the survey, at least, those who identified as LGBTQ+ were less likely to report progress toward improve self-confidence and self-esteem than their peers. And that brings us to the end of the main report. Despite the loosening of COVID-19 restrictions, the pandemic continued to pose significant challenges for programs, as I had mentioned earlier. Programs again found that many participants and prospective staff members didn't feel comfortable meeting in person. There were other enrollment challenges. As I said before, there was a sense of apathy and disengagement among some participants that programs hadn't really experienced prior to the pandemic. Still, as I mentioned, programs continued to demonstrate creativity, and they rose to the challenge, finding different ways to meet with participants, really focusing a lot on that one-on-one engagement and connection to resources, a lot more individualized services, such as wellness checks and connections to resources. And notably, despite the enrollment challenges that I just listed, programs still served 127% of the children and youth that they projected serving. And as shown by survey results, a large proportion of surveyed participants reported that their programs met quality standards and that participants achieved the outcomes intended by programs. So that is the conclusion of the main report. We are now going to turn to section B, where we have the 9 strategy summaries. So today we're going to go over 2 of those 9 strategies as kind of a taste of what you'll find in those sections. And I'm going to pass it over to Rachel to talk about the parent engagement and support strategy.
Thanks, Mika. Hey, so we're going to start now in terms of our strategy sharing with our youngest participants. So I'm really happy to share some outcomes from the parent engagement and support strategy. In this strategy, parents and caregivers with young children, which are birth to age 8, received linguistically and culturally relevant family supports and participated in family engagement activities that promoted attachment and positive parent-child interactions. The photo that you see here shows a socially distanced session of the Prescott Joseph Center for Community Enhancement's Charles D. Burns Preschool Program. As mentioned previously, each strategy has their own results-based accountability table, which you can find at the beginning of the strategy summary, as well as an overview of the demographics and attendance patterns within those strategies. For today's presentation, we're going to jump straight to the first RBA questions, which are, how much did parent engagement and support programs do? So, jumping to that question, how much did they do? As you can see here, programs served 618 children and 1,244 adults. Hours of participation in the early childhood strategies tends to be lower, with most children joining their parents and caregivers in play groups and other short learning activities that are appropriate for their age. Many parents participated in the workshop series and in one-on-one case management. So how well did they do it? Our surveys of parents and caregivers demonstrated that programs successfully created a comfortable and supportive environment and worked well with families from different backgrounds. According to focus groups and grantee reports, the programs did this by centering the parents' needs, the parents' and caregivers' needs, and taking the time necessary to build trust and create a judgment-free space that encouraged openness. Support groups were spaces for parents and caregivers to deepen their understanding of parenting and child development, to ask questions, and to connect with one another. And we wanted to share an illustrative quote that kind of exemplifies, that just gives you a sense for how participants described how well the program ran for them. And this one says, "When I'm feeling sad or angry, I usually don't know what to do. I end up ignoring my feelings. And coming to group has helped me direct some of those feelings towards something positive. I can bring up what I'm going through in class, and staff will listen to me and help me see things from a different angle. This is something I feel I cannot do with my wife or my kids because I don't want to burden them." So for the question, is anyone better off? The early childhood strategies focus on adult level outcomes, including parent and caregiver abilities to identify what their child needs, connections to resources to help them meet basic needs and to provide stability for families, and knowing how to respond effectively to their children. These are outcome areas that we know help adults best care for the children in their charge. And again, another illustrative quote to focus on, you know, is anyone better off? We learned how to interact with our children. We learned the importance of spending quality time with our children. This program taught us better parenting skills, and I really became a much better mom since I joined this program. And it helps not only me, but also my children and us as a family. Again, that was a quote from a parent participant from a Safe Passages program. So let's move on to the other strategy that we wanted to share today, which was the career awareness and employment support strategy. This strategy supports career exploration, work readiness training, on-the-job experience, skill building supports, exposure to career options, and employment for high school and older youth. The photo that you see here comes from CivicCorps' graduation ceremony this spring. Again, just as a reminder, we have that RBA table for the strategy at the beginning of the strategy section, so you can refer to that. So let's jump right into the RBA questions themselves. How much did these sets of programs focused on career awareness and support do? And in terms of this first RBA question, this strategy served 1,820 youth who spent an average of 103 hours in programming. And 80% of youth were also placed in an internship or a job. And overall, together collectively, the youth received over $2 million in wages. So how well did they do it? In our focus group with Lau Family Community Development's Oakland Youth Industries Exploration Program, the participants emphasized how staff created a caring environment by checking in on them and supporting their interests. Youth reported that staff helped place them in internships that matched their interests and that they felt that staff were really genuinely looking out for them. And again, an illustrative example or quote about how well they did it. This participant said, "When I'm in the program, I feel like I belong a lot in that. I'm very welcomed here because connecting back to what we said earlier about how supported the staff were, I feel like it's a family there, not an office. It's more like a family where everyone supports each other." And again, that was a Lau family participant in their career awareness program. So moving on to the question, is anyone better off? We have a few key outcomes, examples of the key outcomes for this year. We found that 93% of youth in career awareness and employment support programs agreed that they learned about jobs that they can have in the future in their program. And 75% of youth in these strategies with an academic focus reported that they learned skills that help with their schoolwork as a result of being in the program. And then again, the question in terms of is anyone better off? One data point that we'd highlight is that 92% of youth agreed that because of this job, they learned new skills that would help them to get a job. And again, another illustrative quote from the Lau Family Program. With Lau Family, with finding jobs there, training, with doing cover letters, doing interviews and resumes, that really helped me in my real professional life in finding jobs. So I really like the skills that they have set me with, and they're very useful in my day-to-day life now. So now I'm going to pass it back to Mika, and we can pause if anyone has any questions, but I'll pass it back to her as well to talk about the program profiles.
Okay, looks like we're ready to move on. So now we have that third section, the program profiles. Okay. So the first page of the program profile shows the results-based accountability indicators for each of the three guiding questions for the relevant strategy. And then on the second page, we have more information about the participants, the children and youth who participated in the strategy, including race and ethnicity, hours of attendance, gender, age, residence, the zip code of residence. For the career awareness programs, which is the example we're looking at here, we also have some information about the hours of work that participants completed during the course of their program and any wages that were earned. And then for the final two pages, we have very detailed survey results. So it has the results from the program on the left side, and then a comparison to the results for the strategy as a whole on the right side. And the survey questions are organized by the outcome dimension that they're related to. So you can see, for example, you might not be able to see, this is kind of small, but first we have development and mastery of skills as the first group of questions, followed by greater connections with adults. So everything is organized by the outcome area that it's related to. And so the third page has survey questions related to general youth development, those questions that are common across all of the youth serving strategies. And then the fourth page has strategy specific outcomes. And I will pause here. See if there's any questions. We also have some questions for you. We're wondering if there's anything else that you're curious about that we didn't share in the report, if you have any thoughts about what we should focus on when we present to City Council, or any other feedback that you might have for us.
So myself and Jorge got to see this presentation before, so we'll open it up for other POC members to make comments. Peter, Bill, Hassan, Shamel, anything you want to ask of the evaluators?
I don't have any additional questions. I just have a comment. I just want to thank you all for putting so much effort into this evaluation. I feel like it was very comprehensive, and a lot of interesting findings came from this. And so I'm just so appreciative of all the thought and energy that went into it, and especially creating the scorecards and just the visuals so that it was easy, to understand and access the data as well.
Okay, thank you.
Any other PLC member comments? For PLC members, are there any recommendations that we have for the presentation to City Council that we could think of? Any things you think might need more explanation, or any feedback we can give? Because otherwise, this will be a similar presentation to the council. Okay, hearing none, I will go to members of the, I'm sorry, go ahead. You were gonna wrap up, me.
Oh, no, just thank you.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and open it up for public comment. If there are members of the public who'd like to make a comment, this would be the moment to do such. If you want to make a comment, you would go to the bottom of your screen and press the raise hand button.
I see no hands.
Fantastic. All right. So the action for us tonight is to approve this to move toward the City Council for presentation. And so do I have a motion to approve this evaluation report?
This is Jorge. I motion to approve the report.
Fantastic. Do I have a second?
This is Hassan. I'd like to second.
Fantastic. All those who are in favor of approving this report to City Council say aye or yes? Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Any opposed? Fantastic. So I will go ahead.
We also say, are there any abstentions?
Thank you. I knew it was one thing I was forgetting. Any abstentions? Okay. So I think we have a unanimous approval of Myself, Peter, Bill, Hassan, Shamel, Jorge, on the call to move this forward. Thank you. Can I get the agenda? Go ahead, Scott.
Well, before we move on, I also want to thank Social Policy Research. This will be the last year that they will be serving as the OFCY evaluator. So after 8 long years, they've decided that maybe it's time for another evaluation firm to bring some new eyes to our programming and how we evaluate programs. So just the public, thank you to Mika, Heather, and Rachel. So they've been great to work with.
Thank you. It's been such an honor and privilege, really.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me find the agenda.
Any other PLC members want to send any appreciations to our lovely partners? All righty. Well, thank you. I appreciate you for this presentation, for your hard work, condensing what is the multitude of data from thousands of youth and parents and your flexibility to take feedback from us and from staff to make it accessible. Like Peter said, it's helpful to have the information broken up in different ways, and look forward to you all presenting to the council and being able to get any feedback from them and being able to move programs forward for our students, our youth, and our children and our families. So appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We're gonna go ahead and move to our next agenda item, which is election of our Planning and Oversight Committee 22-23 co-chairs. Yeah, who wants to be co-chair?
So yeah, we usually do this in September, which is usually our first meeting of the POC year, but we've had a couple of cancellations due to lack of quorum. And here we are in December trying to elect co-chairs. So before we do ask if there are any interested members here that want to run or to be considered for the adult as well as the youth co-chair, just want to appreciate you all. I know this is sort of a smaller body. When it's fully appointed, it should be a 17 member body, but I think we're at 9, maybe 8. I actually need to clarify if Dwayne Davis has aged out. And we'll continually try to get appointments. I know the elections just ended, so hopefully people's minds are getting back to the work at hand, including appointing boards and commission members. But just calling for any interested parties, or you can also nominate anyone. So how about we start with the youth, since we have two youth here on this call. We have Hassan and Shamel. Are one of you interested in being the youth co-chair?
I think I would like to be the youth co-chair.
Great. Yay.
Yay.
Awesome. Then, Shamel, would you like to be considered as well, or?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to clarify, what would be my role as the co-chair?
Sure. So the co-chairs historically have helped move the meetings along. So just as Pacolia helped facilitate this POC meeting, so that would be sort of a shared duty between the co-chairs, between the adult and the youth. And then once again, like if there are special things like the evaluation report that's going to go to City Council, we generally invite the co-chairs to try to be present at those meetings to help support. the evaluation presentation. Once again, I know depending on your schedule, because I know Hassan, you're in school. So, you know, if a meeting occurs during school hours, obviously you can't make it. But then we also invite co-chairs to special subcommittee meetings as well. So for this year, which is our next action item, we only have one subcommittee that's operating, which is the evaluation subcommittee. So.
Do you know how much of a time commitment it would be?
For the evaluation subcommittee, usually it meets, I don't know, maybe like twice a year. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're still interested?
Yeah. Did that scare you off?
No, I'm still interested.
Okay,
awesome.
Great.
We'll be communicating with you through the process. So if you have questions, please do reach out to us.
Okay, thank you. I'm still a bit uncertain just because of school.
Okay.
Well, I think I would like to go ahead, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Well, once again, if obviously if you're in school, you can't make those invites. So we'll work around your schedule, Hassan.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve, right?
Yeah.
Nominate.
Yeah. So how about let's do it in one motion? So how about get some adult interest? Anyone want to be considered as the adult co-chair?
I don't have a problem doing it, but I'm definitely open to anyone who might want to do it as well.
Thank I would like Pecolia. To nominate Pecolia.
That was quick.
You've been saving that one for a minute. He had that good, he had it loaded. Like,
I'm gonna give it one more pass. Any other adults that want to be considered adult members, that is? Well, I hear silence. So can I get a motion to nominate Pecolia as the adult co-chair and Hassan as the youth co-chair?
This is Jorge, I make a motion.
All right, can I get a second?
This is Peter, I'll second.
All right. And then I'll just ask for all those in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
Aye.
All those, anyone that says no? Any abstentions? All right, it's unanimous. Congratulations, Pecolia and Hassan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So fantastic. So we'll follow up with, or staff will follow up with us, and we'll kind of work through prepping for the next meeting. And we'll go ahead and move on to our next agenda item, which is election of evaluation subcommittee members. So I believe myself and Jorge have been the ones serving for the last year. Is that correct, Scott?
Yeah, so because we didn't have this meeting, we didn't have a set evaluation subcommittee member for our last one that we had November 2nd. So I asked some returning members, Pecolia and Jorge, to serve so that we could prep the evaluation presentation to the full POC. But once again, it's a commitment of like two meetings or so a year to sort of prep the evaluation presentation before it gets brought over to the full city, full POC. And then actually for this year, it might be because we still don't have a evaluation firm for the fiscal year 22-23. I may want to involve you in the interviewing and selection of. So I think that would be the commitment. Is there any interest and serving on the evaluation subcommittee.
No, I have an interest. I think I served on that before.
Okay. Would you like to serve again, Bill?
And this every is this every year or every 2 years?
It's every year. We go through this every year. So.
Yeah. I'd be interested, but I'm not sure I'm gonna be on the board after January.
Okay.
So that'd be my only reservations.
Is it okay? Anyone else?
I'm willing to as an evaluator.
Awesome. Thank you, Jorge. Peter, any interest?
Yeah, I am willing to serve on the evaluation subcommittee.
Awesome. I think that's a good number. I think maybe because of Bill's uncertainty, maybe we can do Peter and Jorge. And then as co-chairs, we'll also invite Pacolia and Hassan to those meetings as well. But could I get a motion for Peter and Jorge for the evaluation subcommittee for 22-23?
Yeah. I motion to appoint Bill and Peter as the evaluation subcommittee for 22-23. Can I have a second?
Yeah, Bill Riley seconds.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Aye. Yes.
Aye.
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 Great. Any no's? Any abstentions? Okay, so moved. Yay!
Yay! All right.
All right, so let us go ahead. Thanks, y'all, for those logistical matters. I'll pass it to you, Scott, on administrative matters.
Yep. So I don't have too much news. I feel like for me, the things that are impacting the work of OFCY the most is staffing. We're still pretty understaffed here. You know that Sandy Taylor retired in December of last year, so it's almost been a year. And then Mike Wetzel also, who was the acting manager, left in June. And then we recently had one of our grant managers, Kia Wallace, actually leave our office as well. So right now we're a team of three again. It's me, Terry Hill, and Al Miller. And we're fiercely trying to hire and staff up, but the HR process within the city of Oakland is a little antiquated. The list that we're given are from like 2019. So we're using very old lists of candidates that applied 3 years ago. So I think we did recently make an offer letter to program analyst one position. So that person accepted. So we should have a fourth member starting in January, which I'm looking forward to. But and yeah, we're still, I'll keep you guys updated on sort of the key leadership roles, which is this children and youth services manager, as well as the planner. In terms of upcoming meetings, we won't do the first week of, or the first Wednesday of January, because sometimes people still travel and it's everyone's just getting back to the office. We may have a meeting if there are action items on the third week of January. Historically, we've done that. But I think right now, looking forward, it'll probably be the first Wednesday in February would be the next meeting, just for your calendaring. So that's all I got.
So I heard you give an update on the offer for program analyst. No movement on the director yet?
I have heard nothing definitive.
Okay.
So I don't want to throw things out. Until I hear a solid, yes, we have someone, or yes, that person's going to be in the office next week, I won't say much.
Okay. Awesome. Any questions, PLC members? Well, thank y'all for continuing to you know, muscle through the staffing shortages, and appreciate your dedication and resiliency.
Thank you. It feels heavy at times, to be honest. I feel like we're barely like doing the minimal work, and it leaves very little time to like have bigger thoughts and discussions about evaluation and how to move that forward and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Sweet. I want to also just plug for members of the public who are on here that if you visit our website, we are absolutely still have vacancies. If there are amazing community members who really love our children and our youth and are in districts that we are needing adult and youth appointees, please make sure to refer them to our website so that they can get familiar with and maybe become a PLC member, because it would be great to have more young folks and more of our PLC represented across the city. All righty. Mm-hmm.
That's a agreed. Help us recruit.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that is the end of our agenda. If there's no announcements from PLC members, I will call us to adjourn.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great holidays.
Happy holidays. See you in February.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Take care.
Yeah, great. Appreciate Bye. You. Thank you.
Bye. And we can stop the recording.
Yeah.